This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour Global Report recorded on Friday, May 31st, 2019. I'm Mark Belanger. In the report this week, a breakthrough in negotiations to renew a fire and safety accord for Bangladeshi garment workers. The Labour Start report about union events around the world and singing.
From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh, 100 years of struggle, it ain't over yet.
This is Radio Labour. After 1,200 mostly young women garment workers in Bangladesh were killed at the Rana Plaza in 2013, two global unions, Industrial and Uni, negotiated a building and fire safety accord. The accord has reached the end of its original implementation schedule. Now, in a breakthrough, the Bangladesh Garment Employers Association, the BGMEA, has agreed to a new agreement. I talked to Jenny Holdcroft, an Assistant General Secretary of Industrial, and asked her about the new agreement.
The agreement is about what happens after the accord. In the second iteration of the accord, we've been very much about transitioning, hoping to hand over the functions of the accord to a national body. But up until now, the negotiations with the Bangladesh government and employers have not led anywhere. So what the agreement is that we've reached with the Bangladesh Employers Association is that together create a new body that would eventually take over from the accord, but that we would get 12 months in which to do that. So that's the extension that's been granted to the accord by the court, is to say, well, you've got 12 months to organise this transition to the new joint body.
Tell us about this joint body. It's called the Sustainability Council. What will it do?
The agreement with the employers is that this organisation will take over lock, stock and barrel, the operations of the accord, which was something that we were very concerned about, that all of the work and the staff and the functions would be lost somehow. So the idea is, rather than handing this over to government and hoping that the government would somehow keep up the same level of inspections and transparency and remediation, instead we would build on the model that the accord has created and create a new body which would also include the Bangladesh employers who are not part of the original accord, which is agreement between global unions and global brands. So the new body would have a similar structure, but the Bangladesh employers would very much be part of it. So that necessitates a much stronger role for the Bangladesh unions in this new body. But we have 12 months to figure out the precise terms of the governance.
You mentioned the unions. Will Bangladeshi garment unions continue to be involved after the council has taken over the activities of the accord?
Well, yes. I mean, we hope that they will be more active than they have been in the existing accord, because most of the discussions around the implementation of the accord program has been at global level between the global unions and the brands that own the accord. But we're hoping that by transmitting it to a locally based Bangladesh body, the RMG Sustainability Council, the unions based in Bangladesh will have a much stronger role in formulating the work and the governance of this new body. So we foresee a much stronger role for the local unions than they have had today.
The two global unions which were involved in negotiating the original accord, Industrial and Uni, said the brands have to be treated more strictly. Do you foresee that strictness still continuing after the new council is established?
With the brands, absolutely. I mean, we haven't got to that level of discussion with the BGMEA yet, but I imagine that they're going to realise very quickly that that relationship between the global unions and the global brands is absolutely essential, because it means that the brands are tied to the sustainability solutions in their own supply chains. If the brands let up, then we can see very quickly that the factories will start slipping back again. And I think it's a question of who's got the leverage and what sort of sanctions you apply. The sanction that the accord has always applied has been the threat of withdrawal of business from the brand. Now, with the BGMEA in the picture, there's another possibility of sanction, which is the withdrawal of the export license, which the BGMEA controls. But that's a very blunt instrument, because once it's withdrawn, then that's the end, and it's not something that you want to apply readily. But if you combine that sanction with the sanctions of the threat of withdrawal of business, then you've potentially got a very rigorous system. But the role of brands is just just as essential, will be just as essential in the new body as it is existing, because they're still responsible for the conditions in their own factories.
The accord was an initiative of two global unions, Industrial, your union, and Uni. Will the participation of Uni and Industrial continue in some way?
Yes, absolutely. We have a role in the governance. The governance is envisaged, or the agreement says that the governance will be the BGMEA, the brands, global unions and local unions. So we're still there because we are the ones who can hold the global brands to account outside of Bangladesh. Our role will continue to be critical. But like I said, the day-to-day work of actually managing and running the accord, we hope to hand much more to the local trade unions.
Has Industrial found that the accord has been successful?
Well, it depends how you measure success, but if you measure success in terms of people dying in garment factories, it's been extraordinarily successful. We have not had, touch wood, any deaths in factories that have been covered by the accord since Rana Plaza. The improvements to fire safety and building safety have been extraordinary to the extent that there's been a real cultural shift in Bangladesh, and these issues are taken very seriously now in a way that they weren't previously. It's really building a culture of safety. I think there's still a lot more work to be done around employee empowerment around safety issues. I think there's still a very hierarchical way of running factories that potentially leaves unsafe situations to develop. I mean, we always hark back to Rana Plaza and the fact that workers were forced into the building even though they had concerns about safety. And we firmly believe that had those workers been unionized, they would have been able to stand up to the employer and not go in. And that right to refuse unsafe work is still a concept that I don't think has got enough traction yet in Bangladesh. So yes, there's definitely more work to be done around the workers' role in protecting their own health and safety at work. But in terms of the structural issues of the factories and the culture that understands that safe factories is an important part of doing business, there has been very good outcomes. But also on a global level, having an initiative that's firstly legally binding and also working at the industry level instead of at the level of individual companies, this is transforming the way that global unions and global companies think about supply chain working conditions. So it's been a real threshold in the industry, and I think for other industries as well, it serves as a good example of what is possible.
Here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a tiny sample of the hundreds of union news stories in 31 languages that were added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to coverage of the general strike against austerity in Argentina, more attacks on union activists by company goons in India, and a climb to the peak of Everest by a Nepali trade unionist in an effort to draw attention to the ILO Convention on the Prevention of Violence and Harassment in the Workplace. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Vietnamese women, migrant workers at a garment factory in Taiwan, struck this week after management took action against the organizers of a strike in May that won the workers large sums of overtime payments that were owed to them. Mexican public sector workers showed signs of following their comrades in the automotive sector as a series of municipal strikes began this week. Workers at the Louvre in Paris took a day off work to demand increased staffing levels for the tourist season. Argentinian finance and taxation inspectors continued their wage strike even after the courts declared it to be illegal. In Côte d'Ivoire, abattoir employees also escalated their wage dispute into a full-blown strike. Senegalese teachers were demanding a wage increase and higher staffing levels when they struck on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. Public hospitals in Burkina Faso were closed to all but emergencies as workers tried to force the government to implement a 2017 wage agreement. And in Kenya, a court suspended a strike by virtually all workers at a hospital over the failure of management to provide laboratory supplies needed to conduct blood tests. Our top working women's stories included coverage of how migrant workers in Lebanon are organizing against both the state and their employers, strikes by McDonald's workers in 13 U.S. cities over workplace sexual harassment, and how domestic workers in South Africa won the right to compensation for workplace injuries. the free health and safety newswire we offer in cooperation with Hazards Magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the huge reaction by Spanish unions to the death of yet another bicycle food delivery worker, another in a long series of suicides by women working at a truck manufacturing facility in Spain, and the ongoing struggle for safe road transport in Australia. Currently, LabourStart is running two online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from LabourStart, reporting for Radio Labour.
Now here are the Low Tide Drifters with Every Stitch.
Of clothing someone sweats away unseen, while the tangled threads of justice unravel at the seams. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh, 100 years of struggle, it ain't over yet.
In the ashes of disaster, they won safety on the cutting floor and basic workers' rights. Now the union labels faded and the war is waged anew. Along a global chain of greed and pain in from the public view.
For every stitch of clothing someone sweats away unseen, while the tangled threads of justice unravel at the seams. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh, 100 years of struggle, it ain't over yet.
That's it, international labor news you can use. You can find our features and daily newscasts on our website at www.radiolabor.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.